name is Casey Must. I'm the owner and founder of Citizen Yoga, and you are listening to our podcast, After Class. After Class is our platform where we interview not just our community members and teachers, but other experts, whether they be therapists, nutritionists, who are really trying to further a more open conversation around mental health, and particularly in efforts to prevent suicide throughout our communities. Today, one of our guests is one of our very own citizen employees, students, friends, cheerleaders, advocates, Amy Kinney. And if you haven't been into a Citizen Yoga before, then you might not have met Amy in person, but Amy found us. Well, I'll let Amy tell you how she found us, but Amy was one of our first online teacher trainees. And I'm so excited to have her specifically on the podcast for, you might not be listening to this in May, but May is Mental Health Month, and each week of May, we choose a topic. And so one of the topics that we have chosen is to talk about beauty standards and how beauty standards can be very confining, oftentimes debilitating to our self-esteem and our self-confidence. And part of reforming our world or changing these standards so that we can all feel more full in who we are as individuals, so we can be, I mean, a better society, hopefully. So Amy, welcome.
Hi,
so happy
thanks.
To have you.
Me too.
Tell me a little bit about how you found Citizen Yoga, just quickly, and you know, why you ended up moving to Michigan.
Yeah, no kidding. I found Citizen Yoga during 2020, like mid-pandemic. It was June. I was looking for something rewarding to occupy my time. I ended up talking to a friend about yoga teacher training, and she had great, great reviews about Citizen Yoga, and I was still living in Wisconsin at this time. So I committed to yoga teacher training. I completed that while still living in Wisconsin, and when 200-hour teacher training was over, I felt like I still needed to learn more. I needed to go further, and so then I committed to 300-hour, and I also, at that moment, was yearning to live in a new geographical space. And since the studio is located in the Detroit area, it was like the universe bonked me on the forehead and said, go to Detroit to finish, at least to finish 300 hours. So that's why I'm here.
It's amazing. And, you know, when Amy was doing her 200 hour and we'd be teaching, she'd be like up in the early morning on top of a mountain listening to lecture. You know, it wasn't like she was listening to teacher training in, like, you know, the comfort of her own bedroom like most people. She was out and about on an adventure. And I really think that really embodies who you are as a person.
Yeah, I think so too.
Is there something specifically about this particular topic, you know, beauty standards, self-care, self-confidence? Like, what was your reason for wanting to come on the podcast?
This whole process of challenging societal beauty standards in my own physical body has been a big fat challenge. And so I feel like I can talk on this topic now from the scar, not from the wound. I have processed so much of this phase that I, when I come across paths with strangers, it's happened more times than you can say that it's coincidence. You know, that I'm interacting with these perfect strangers, and this interaction with them, because of my aesthetic, because of my bald head, just feels like a really healthy exchange of energy. And so when this opportunity came about, I was like, yeah, I will 100% offer my story and perspective.
So describe what you look like, since a lot of people might not have met you.
Yeah. 34, 5'7", European female with a bald head, no eyebrows, and no eyelashes. So I have fair skin, blue eyes, a fairly athletic, healthy physical body. That's what I look like.
Mm-hmm. And so what caused your hair loss?
Alopecia.
Can you tell us a little, tell us a little bit about your story of, you know, what caused it, you know, what, and why did you wrestle with it specifically in terms of like deciding to shave your head? So you had alopecia, you were diagnosed with alopecia, and then sort of walk us through that journey.
I was diagnosed with alopecia when I was in junior high school. And at that point I had a really long, like really beautiful strawberry blonde hair. And in junior high school, I feel like everybody is going through those awkward stages of who am I, who am I becoming, you know, who do I want to become versus what people tell me is quote unquote cool or not. So that was really traumatic in itself. Just originally having that first bald spot on the top of my head, in the middle of my head, that was very hard to hide. Yeah, it was brutal. I had this nickname, the cool kids called me Bald Spot, which, I mean, come on, like think of something a little bit more creative than that. But it wrecked me. It was really hard. I would wake up in the middle of the night, you know, crying because dreams were haunting me. And at that point, we went to a doctor, we fixed that, and it was fine. So from junior high on to being 20 years old, it was fine. There was no symptoms. And then at 20, I started taking a birth control pill, and I didn't even get all the way to the placebo pills, and my hair started falling out again. Only this time it was much faster. It was much more. Although it was familiar, like I had lost my hair before, it was just this whole new like onslaught of, holy crap, I can't get ahead of this. What do I do now? So again, went to a doctor and we figured out this concoction of medicine that could maybe help me, but also maybe not, because alopecia medically, it's so various. A person who has this hair loss disease. And so I just went through this process with my doctors of figuring out what worked and what didn't work. And this was really the first time that I had to try to take agency over my physical body and make decisions, you know, thinking about the side effects of this medicine. And I was going to say a little side piece of this experience of losing all of my hair head to toe when I was 20 years old in 2 months. I was actually, my partner at the time was very, very supportive, and he's the one who shaved my head and told me I was beautiful no matter what. So he was a key piece in me coping with this. Yeah.
I think that, you know, as kids, of course, we don't realize the impact of the effect that some people could potentially have on us. But it's really interesting because we often as adults forget how much our words matter. And so I think that everybody listening, I'm sure, has a story of some kind where, I don't know, they were called something, some part of their body. I don't know, don't we all have something we dislike or something that somebody pointed out to us? I remember, you know, I was just telling this story last week that when I was in middle school, my, you know, it's funny to think like you had a boyfriend, but I guess I didn't sort of have a boyfriend in middle school. And I remember his mom, you know, mentioning my nose, you know, and as a Jewish girl, that's like very sensitive. And for my whole life, I used to think about how big my nose was. And, you know, if you know me, I'm sure you know that, you know, that's probably not the first thing that you think about. When you look at me, maybe it is, maybe it's not, I don't know, but it was something that impacted me. So you're mentioning what girls called you in middle school and how traumatizing that was. You know, and I think that we all have, no matter how people perceive you, we all have these little wounds that were created by other people's words. And so how we carry them and how we heal them, I mean, that's really the journey that you're talking about, because it's you personally that decided to shave your head and I'm sure, I don't know how people looked at you or if you were aware of how people looked at you. Was it in the beginning that you were comfortable or did it take you some time to get comfortable?
It took me quite a bit of time from 20 to, for at least 5 years, I was taking these medications to keep my hair looking like, you know, a normal head of hair. But what ended up happening was my hair grew really nice right down the middle of my head, but I had a lot of patches on the sides of my head. And so I was like, well, now I'm meant to have a mohawk. So that's just what I embraced. So I started shaving the sides of my head, and I had this really like luxurious, really badass looking mohawk. And then I started to have so much fun with it. Like I would dye it different colors. And there was one point that was really great that my mohawk was just shoulder length. And so I could like French braid it. I could put it in cute little space buns. And at this point, like once I started embracing the creativity that I could have with it and like the actual freedom and fun that I could have with it, then that's when I started walking into rooms without a hat or, you know, without some kind of coverage or any kind of like shame surrounding my hair. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started walking with my shoulders a little bit farther back and my chin a little bit higher in the air, because I made that decision, like you said. And then, you know, the medicine started to not keep up anymore. And so I started really reflecting on why I was taking it and why it was so important to me. And I realized that my values had changed and having hair was not part of when I'm on my deathbed that I'm going to look back at and say, oh, I wish I had this, you know? So that's when I decided to stop all of the medicine that was just for vanity purposes. It had nothing to do with my actual physical health, and shave my head. And
what was that feeling like for you?
It was a lot. It was big. I had my best girlfriend at my side during this. You know, I came to her, I said, I want to shave my head, but I don't want to do it alone and sad in my bathroom. I want to make this some kind of beneficial thing. So I did some research and found the National Alopecia Areata Foundation. And my best friend and I put together a fundraiser in 2 weeks. And so we took people who took pledges to shave their heads. We had 6 other people shave their heads with me that day.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We had donations to a silent auction, including a boudoir photographer, which I got to do. That's a whole different story.
Yeah, that's a different story. Different story for a different day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that, so we all shaved our heads and then we on a beach and then we all ran and jumped in the lake. And it was this like grand expression of a cleansing and a new beginning and of like a good riddance to the medicine and of a hello to my natural healthy human body. And it was a little bit sad and it was a lot empowering and it was a big, big day.
How do people get there though? There are so many, during Morning Philosophy, we've talked about hair specifically and hair standards. There was just an article, I think it was in the New York Times, talking about, people, you know, being forced to cut their hair and or straighten it or not wear it in braids. And for many years, still hair and hair standard is a way that you express yourself in society. It's a way that we fit in. You know, specifically straight hair is more coveted than curly hair. And we're really definitely trying to break some of those norms. But how do we get there? Because, you know, if the outside world says that these are the beauty standards, to have long hair or to have straight hair or whatever, you know, whatever your culture is or wherever you're looking for your standards. I find it has to really be a personal journey of self-confidence and clarity, but that's really easy to say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And really hard to get to.
Right.
You know, that's really hard to get to because we're peer pressured to look certain ways all the time. I was just actually saying, you know, I was in a conversation and, you know, postpartum, like it's celebrated that you don't look like you had a baby. I was literally just having this conversation this morning.
Right.
You know, this obviously doesn't have to do with hair, but it's about the female journey and the female process. And it is celebrated that, oh my God, you don't even look like you had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the goal? Like, is that really what we're looking for? And how do we free ourselves? I don't even know if I know how to free myself and other people from that standard of physical rejection.
Mm.
But when you say to me, like, okay, Casey, I shaved my head and it was freeing. And now I know you
mm-hmm.
and I see you all the time. And I, you know, Amy and I've never even had this conversation. This is the first time we've ever had this conversation. I didn't even know why she lost her hair. I've never even asked. Cause I'm like, okay, this is her choice and it's not my business unless she shares this story with me, which is, you know, we started talking about beauty standards for mm-hmm. Mental Health Month. But is there any like tool? Is there a moment that you think somebody has to get to in order to be more free?
Oh man, that's a big one.
I can tell you while you think, I can tell you a little bit about, you know, after, you know, having Penelope mm-hmm. and I told Sujan this, that I go into class and I still wear my same clothes. And, you know, there's more skin. Okay. And that might seem like nothing, but it's still a different body. And I refuse to cover it because it's more for myself than it is for other people. It's mm-hmm. more that I don't want to have any shame around my body that has changed, even if it's temporarily changed. I don't want to hide that change. And then, you know, again, take off my shirt, not that I take off my shirt, but, you know, wear a matching set, let's mm-hmm. say.
Right.
When I feel like society will accept me or I'm living into that standard of what I used to be. And so I find that these were small steps that I had to take in order mm-hmm. to maintain my own value for what I was trying to stand up for in myself, not just, you know, in the world.
Right. You know, there's a phrase that came up yesterday and it goes, quote, "That's how we've always done it," unquote. And mm-hmm. this phrase, every time I hear it or read it as an excuse to not progress or to not change, it just, mm-hmm. it boils my blood. So I think that really kind of fueled me, the basis of that's how we've always done it. It's like, well, why not try something new? And for me, trying something new was shaving my damn head and like, right. and treating my body better for me. And like you said, that decision to keep showing your skin postpartum is a decision for you. It's not a favor to anybody else, you know, me shaving mm-hmm. my head, but it totally helps me outwardly represent how I feel about progression and challenging the norm. It's just now an automatic tool. Mm-hmm. It's just a built-in tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do you date? So all of us, I mm-hmm. think that I constantly am hearing this, that the success, I mean, this is a standard of our life, that our success is based on having a partner. Our success is based on having a child. Our success is based on X.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of external validation,
mm-hmm.
but having companionship is a real desire. It's something that we want for our own spiritual growth, not just, we don't want to say our own happiness. It's mm-hmm. for our own growth.
Right.
And I'm sure that having no eyelashes, no eyebrows, no hair, it's a little different. What has it been like to date?
It's quite different. I feel like it's both a blessing and a curse to enter the dating world with a bald head and no eyelashes and no eyebrows. It's a blessing because the people who are really superficial are just going to pass right by me anyway. And there's no way that I'm going to be able to waste my time with these people because I am not covering my bald head, you know, and they can see it first thing. And it's a curse also because every now and then I feel the judgment of someone who's not very kind. And it still takes me a little bit to rise above that judgment. So kind of 50-50. And the partner I'm with now, after we started dating, he told me, like, he goes, "I don't like long hair." He goes, "I think your bald head is sexy." And I was like, "No way." Really?
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is really, so how did you guys meet?
We met at a ski resort.
Okay.
Yep.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
I'm sure that a lot of people, you know, I don't know a lot about online dating. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it.
Right.
But I'm sure that, you know, posting a photo of yourself would warrant some questions from people.
Yep.
How do you present, you know, being different, looking different? I mean, these are, I'm sure some of our listeners have things that, you know, maybe they want to hide or they don't mm-hmm. want to share with people, but they do. We all mm-hmm. want to be free of these secrets or mm-hmm. things that we feel shamed about. How do you have conversations in a confident way? Or how have you initiated conversations in a confident way with people about, you know, your hair?
Yeah, I straight up ask. I find that being direct and calm and kind was the best way for me to start this conversation. One, I want to make sure that this other person is not worried about my health. You know, a lot of people, I've had women pass me on the street and just like give me a fist bump because they assume that I'm going through cancer or something really terrible. And they're like, "Keep fighting, girl." And I know that's coming from a good heart, you know, and that's not it. But so one, I want to make sure that these people are not worried about my health, that like, I'm fine, I'm doing great. Yeah. And number two, it's nothing that I'm worried about either. You know, this is a non-issue. So, bringing it up right from the get-go is really the best way that I found to do it. And then sometimes, and I love this when people straight up ask, when they straight up ask me, "What's going on? You know, why the decision to shave your head?" And then I get to tell them, you know, the 5-second elevator story about why I have this glorious bald head. And then they're like, "Oh my God." And then, you know, they have that reaction. They go, "Wow, that's so inspiring. You're so strong." And then right. you know, they come out with those words.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, you know, the theme of this month is reframing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we were studying Dr. Parker's work during philosophy class, one of the topics we covered was curly hair versus straight hair and how that was really a sign. It really traces back to racism
mm-hmm.
and that the white standard was, you know, where we were all sort of going towards, that there was a perfectionism built into our beauty standards. And so I guess these are questions I'm asking myself, but how do we start to reframe our beauty standards to accommodate everyone and other people? Because we have inherited so many. And I guess one way I've done it is asking myself, well, why do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where is this coming from?
Exactly.
You know, why do I straighten my hair? Okay, even if I still choose to straighten my hair, why do I straighten my hair? You know, why do I hide certain parts of my body and expose other parts of my body?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that these are questions for all of us. It's not just women.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody. And it's hard.
It is hard.
Not having hair is very, I don't know if people have done it, but when I was living in India, we had to wear our hair back. I mean, that was hard enough for me. And it really, it really changes how you feel about yourself. It's a refocusing
yeah.
on how you define your beauty.
Totally.
And that's a revel. That's it. It changes you to not rely on a certain thing to define how you feel about yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And when all of my hair came off that day that I shaved my head, I realized that, okay, this hair thing, this visual thing is no longer a priority. My hands are washed clean of worrying about this thing. And that, like, getting rid of that gave room for the other priorities that were underlying that needed to come through, Like, I don't know, being kinder to Mother Earth, you know, like, I don't have to buy shampoo and conditioner. I don't consume those plastic bottles anymore. So, you know, being kind to Mother Earth is another big priority that I have, that it just, not having hair just makes that easier.
That's amazing. I mean, that is the reframing tool. And, you know, one of the next episodes I want to do is on the difference between sacrifice and renunciation, and what is true renunciation. And that's really what true renunciation is what Amy's describing it as, which is your values changed and everything that was lower, distracting. You know, what you're describing, Amy, is like you had 90% of your thoughts going towards hair and 10% of your thoughts going towards valuable things in your life. Not that hair isn't valuable. Of course, you know, you can have your values for anything you want. But for you, it wasn't. And so you drop some of those thoughts and you gain space to have more clarity, to look at a situation from a different angle. And that is exactly the tool that we're looking at during this month. Which is to see how our decisions play out from all different sides. And then we don't get up as upset or as frustrated.
Yeah, exactly.
So, so amazing. Is there any last little, like, if you could say, I don't know, to our listeners, here's one thing that I challenge you to do during the month of May. You know, whether it's around beauty or self-care or reframing, because those are really our themes. Is there one thing that you would challenge them or suggest that they take on?
Yes. Here's an example, and you can find your own personal expression of what this looks like. Is go out, if you normally go out with a full face of makeup, go out with less or no makeup, give it a shot, see what happens. Or doing your hair, like pull your hair back one day, you know, just like look in the mirror and reflect on what kind of societally influenced thing that you do to yourself in order to leave the house that's not actually important for your health or for your success that day. Get rid of that for one day and come back at the end of the day and reflect on how much it did or didn't change your day. I remember one day that I left the house running late and I just didn't put on makeup that day. And I think I was a server at a restaurant or something at this point. And I went through my whole day and I didn't think about it once. And I got home and I was like, holy crap. I went through my whole day. I had a great day and I had no makeup on and it didn't matter. Nobody cared.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Amy, thank you so much. And if you want to meet Amy, see Amy, she is at our front desk. She's in our classes. She's online in our training. and she's one of the most friendly people. So she will definitely welcome you into Citizen.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on here, Amy. We appreciate your perspective and all of your courage.
Thanks, Casey. I appreciate you.